All right. Well, today we're in part two of our series on the Holy Spirit. And let me ask you a question as we're getting started this morning. How many of you know somebody, a Christian, a follower of Jesus, maybe around you in your life, who just seems to have more spiritual power than other people? How many of you know somebody like that? And if you're not sure what I'm talking about, that's okay. Let me explain. Like, you know, maybe you know somebody who, like, when they pray, their prayers just sound so powerful. Like, it just feels like, you know, you start praying, you're like 8-pound baby Jesus with a golden diet. You know, it just sounds like that when you pray. Don't pray like that. But anyway, that's from a movie. But it's one of those things where they start praying and it just feels like the heavens are opening up. And you know, you're not God, but you're like, if I was God, their prayer sounds so powerful that I would answer that prayer, right? Maybe you know somebody like that. Or maybe you know somebody in your life who maybe they go through something very, very difficult, but when they're going through something difficult, they just seem to have a different kind of confidence in God that just, you know, where they just know that God is working in their situation. Or I know some people in my life who it just seems like the power of God, like they are being used by God in such a big way that it just seems like God just seems to move things or to move people when they're involved, right? And if you know people like this in your life, it's kind of like we all ask the question of, you know, why? How do they seem to have more spiritual power than I do? Like, why do they seem to have a little bit of extra something? And the truth is, the funny thing is, they may just have more spiritual power. Here's why. One of the things is, in general, there are some people who are just more surrendered, who are more surrendered to the power of the Holy Spirit than others. There are some people who are so surrendered to the power of the Holy Spirit that God begins to move in their life in a different kind of way. They have a different power because they're depending on a different power, right? You know, when I moved in, Mandy and I moved into our house, we bought a house 3 years ago, and we one of the things that we knew, everybody has projects when you have a house, right? There's always a new project, or there's something to fix, or something to do. We knew one of our number one priorities is we had a whole lot of landscaping that had been overgrown, a whole lot of bushes that had been planted and looked real pretty a long time ago, but whoa, they were like on steroids now, and they needed to be cut down. And so we're counting them and realizing there's like 15 to 20 that needed to come out. And so, you know, being the manly guy that I try to be, I got my gloves on, I got my shovel out, and I was going to prove to my family my strength by digging up some bushes, you know? And so I went over there, and I got to the first bush, and I started digging and digging. I dug all the way around, and I couldn't get through a few of the roots, and, you know, so I started, like, you know, getting, like, things to clip it and all sorts of things. And I'm digging and digging, and, like, 2 hours later, you know, my kids come out and like, Daddy, how are you doing? It's like, I'm still working on the first bush. Not one bush is out yet. And I finally realized this is kind of dumb. Like, I have a brother who has a big honking truck, and so I've seen YouTube videos about this, and so I call him up, and I said, look, your truck probably doesn't have the power to do that. You say that to somebody who has a truck, and they're like, oh, yes, it does, you know? And I said, but maybe you can help me with your truck. And so he comes over. At that time, he had a big red truck, and it was like the rednecks had moved into the area because, you know, we tied a rope around one of the bushes, and it was tied to his truck, and he just gave it a little bit of gas. And all of a sudden, boom, 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 and the bush literally came out of the root, that roots came out of the ground, and it started being dragged to the front of the house. And I was like, this is awesome. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Right? In 30 minutes, he had 15 to 20 bushes pulled out, and in 2 hours, I was not able to get one. Now, the truth is, and the reason I tell you that, is so many people and so many Christians keep putting on their little gloves, keep bringing out their shovel and trying to live the Christian life on their own power, trying to dig out of things, trying to go to new places with their own power, and they're shoveling and they're digging and digging. It's kind of like, what in the world is going on? There's a real power from God that's been given to us by the Holy Spirit. That's what we're talking about today. Last week, we learned that the Holy Spirit isn't some random mysterious ghost that's just floating around in the atmosphere. It's not like a Ghostbuster scene when it's talking about the Holy Spirit. In fact, here's what we learned last week instead, is that the Holy Spirit is the real presence and power of God who is actively working in the world. The Holy Spirit is just God. It's the third person of the Trinity, God in spirit form. Nothing weird, the presence and the power of God. And here's the thing. Last week we focused on the presence of the Holy Spirit. What happens when we have the presence of the Holy Spirit? And we saw how Jesus said in John chapter 16 that hey, I'm going to have to leave from here, but it's good. It's best for you that I leave. And the disciples are like, no, it's not. We've got you right beside us, Jesus. And he said, because when I leave, I will send you a comforter, a helper, a counselor, an advocate. The word is parakletos. It's a Greek word that literally means the one who is called to be alongside of. And so the Holy Spirit will actually come to be with us. And the promise is this, to be inside of every believer. And so we learn that the presence of the Holy Spirit means that God is not just around us and God is not just somewhere above us. And God is not just beside us like when we had Jesus, but this time the presence and the power of God can actually be in us if we're followers of Jesus, to comfort us, to guide us, to convict us when we need it, but even to draw us to God. And so today what I want us to do is I want us to focus on the power. Last week was the presence. Here's the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you have your Bibles or your devices, you're welcome to turn on them to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. We're gonna look at this today. Let me set it up for you. The words are going to be on the screen too. Here's the context. Jesus had already died on the cross. He'd already been raised from the grave. Remember that on Easter? He'd been raised from the grave. And the scripture actually tells us in Romans chapter 1 that it was actually the Spirit, the power of the Spirit of God is what raised Jesus from the dead. So the Holy Spirit's involved. And so what's happened here is Jesus is actually having a conversation with his disciples before he ascended into heaven. And here's how the conversation goes. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And it says this. It says, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he, that's Jesus, gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. Like, who is that? Oh, wait. I remember you told us about this, Jesus. It says, which you have heard me speak about, the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, it says, for John the Baptist, baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So it's like, okay, what Jesus is saying is, look, in just a little bit, remember when you were baptized with water? Like you were filled and you were immersed by water? Well, in just a few days, when the Holy Spirit comes, you will be baptized in a sorts, once again. You'll be filled, you'll be overwhelmed, you'll be overcome, you will be immersed with the Holy Spirit. And here's what the Spirit of God is going to give you the power to do. Here's what it says in verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, but you will receive, what does it say? Power. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. That's right where they were. They were in Jerusalem. And in all Judea and Samaria, that was their region, and to the ends of the earth. So when the Holy Spirit comes on you, it's going to give you power to be witnesses right where you are and in your entire region and to share the message of who Jesus is throughout the entire world. Now, the promise is this, that you'll receive power. Now, this is kind of a cool thing. We're kind of dissecting some words here, but it's actually really cool. The Greek word for power here is the word dunamis. And the word dunamis, you've heard of dynamite before, right? Dynamite actually comes from the word dunamis, right? And so dunamis, basically, you will receive dunamis. It's a force, miraculous power, or I love this, the explosive power of God. You will receive dunamis when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Right? And so that's what Jesus is saying. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will receive dunamis, the explosive power of God who will empower you to be witnesses of who Jesus is, to take the message and the love of Jesus all over the world. Now, that might not seem like a big deal. Why do you need power to do that? Can't you just tell people about Jesus? Well, think about who Jesus is talking to, the disciples. They were not known for being the most faithful people. In fact, Jesus was right there with them, and so many times, not once did Jesus say, you know what, guys, you guys just have so much faith, and you're getting this so much that I don't even know why I'm still here with you. No, he said to them many times, like, just you still don't believe, and I'm right in front of you, right? And so these guys were just ordinary men that were kind of known for having little faith, and yet Jesus looked at these ordinary small faith men, and he said, you will be empowered. You will be filled by the Holy Spirit to take my message all over the world. And here we are today, 2,000 years later, and declaring the message and the love of Jesus in churches all over the world. Why? Because the Holy Spirit came upon very ordinary people, giving them dunamis, the real power of God to share the love and the message of Jesus everywhere. And that's been going on for generation and generation. And so that's the promise. That's the promise. The Holy Spirit's going to come on you. Now here's what happens when the Holy Spirit actually came. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Here's how it says, what it goes. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were together in one place. Jesus told them to stay in Jerusalem, so they did. It says, suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Now, let's stop right here. It's kind of crazy because, well, first of all, it was Pentecost. This is what happened on Pentecost. The word Pentecost, 50. So it was 50 days after Jesus was raised from the dead, right? And so, so what happens here at Pentecost is we see wind and fire. This wind and fire that just fills the house and fell on every believer. And it got me thinking, wind and fire. Where have we seen that before? Wind and fire, wind and fire. These are people who were Jewish people who knew the scriptures. You may remember last week while we were talking about the word for spirit. In Hebrew, we taught you this word. It's the word ruach. Can you say ruach? Ruach. That means spirit in the Old Testament. And the word in the New Testament in Greek is pneuma. Say pneuma. Pneuma. Now you know it. Ruach, pneuma, right? And that word for spirit simply means wind or a violent blast of breath. And so think about a story. Do you remember the time when the people of God were wandering in the wilderness? They had been freed from slavery in Egypt. They were on their way to the promised land, and for 40 years, they were wandering in the wilderness. And do you remember what it was that directed and led them when they were wandering in the wilderness? It was a cloud by day that would blow in by the ruach, the Spirit of God, would blow in a wind or a cloud every day, and it was a pillar of fire. That would have been awesome to see for the pyros out here, you know, pillar of fire that would come at night, right? And when the pillar of fire would move or when the cloud would move, the people, it was real elementary. The people of God would know, oh, this is where God wants us to go. And so they would pack up all their pipe and drape and all the stuff for their life, and the cloud or the pillar would move, and then they would start to move. And then when it would stop, they would say, oh, this is where God wants us to be. And then it would move again, and then they would move. And so this is how God was teaching them in an elementary way what it looks like to follow the Spirit of God, to be in step with the Holy Spirit. And so here we are again in Acts chapter 2. We just read it, wind and fire, wind and fire. Oh my goodness, because we see that in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came, it was a violent wind from heaven. And tongues of fire that fell on every believer, and everyone there started to think, oh my goodness, this is the same Spirit of God that led my ancestors to direct them where to go in the wilderness, and he's come to fill us. Here's how it continues, verse 4. It says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. All the disciples, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Verse 5. It says, now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one, check this out, heard their own language being spoken. This is by the disciples. Skipping on to verse 12, it says, amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? You can imagine why. Here's what it says, verse 13. It says, some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. So this is what happens when the Holy Spirit came. And at this point, we were good with the wind and the fire, but at this point, this is where things started to get confusing, weird, maybe even a little controversial. You know, it says that they began to speak in different tongues. And let me just tell you to clear it up. Speaking in tongues is not just babbling. I used to think that speaking in tongues meant that people go, L-l-l-l-l-l-l, you know, like they're just speaking in tongues. Like that's what I thought, you know. I don't know if anybody else is like that, but this is my confession. That's what I thought it was. I thought that was weird. But all it means is they started speaking in other languages. And so let me just say, not everybody has that gift. But on certain occasions, some people are empowered by the Holy Spirit to have this supernatural ability to speak in languages that they don't know. Now, I'd never encountered this before, but my friend Victor, in college, he was telling me a story. His dad was a missionary in Chile, and he was preaching. He knew Spanish, and he knew English, and he was preaching in Spanish. There was this village, this really remote village of people who they knew Spanish, but they had a language that was a language that only the villagers knew, right? And this is what they communicated back and forth with, but Victor's dad was preaching, and he's listening to him, and he's preaching in Spanish, and he's preaching in Spanish, and Victor knew Spanish, so he was listening to it. And all of a sudden, he said it was the weirdest thing. My dad started speaking, not in this babbling thing, but he started speaking in this other language that I've never heard before, he said. And at that moment, he said, I tuned out because I didn't know what he was saying, but everyone in the room got laser focused on what he said, what dad was saying. And he said they started leaning in, and some of them started crying, and some of them were just filled with joy. And he said, and he gave an altar call, or at least what it looked like that. And so many people started coming down and saying they wanted to follow Jesus. And he said, Andy, it was the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life because my dad just knows English and Spanish, but somehow, by the power of God, that's the only explanation, my dad started speaking in a language that I found out was the language of the native villagers that only they know. It was only the power of the Holy Spirit, is what he told me. Now, here's the thing. This is the same thing that happened on Pentecost. People were gathered, it says, from all over the world. They were there. And when the Holy Spirit came on the disciples, the people began to hear it in their native languages, right? Think about how cool this would be. No longer, you know, you see like on summits and stuff, world summits, how world leaders have to have the earphones. Like they didn't have to have earphones. It's just like, you know, you're speaking and all of a sudden I hear it in my own language. The Holy Spirit enabled this to happen. Now the question is, do you have to speak in tongues? Like do you have to speak in tongues to be filled with the Holy Spirit? No. But some people are given the supernatural ability on some occasions to speak in language that are understood only by the people there. You know, it's kind of funny because did you notice how people responded when they saw this? What did they say about them? They said, you guys look like you've had too much alcohol. You guys look like you're kind of drunk, right? Now, this is funny to me because it's almost like, sir, can you walk the white line here and let's see if you're up to something, right? But think about this. When someone drinks alcohol, it makes sense why they thought this. When someone gets drunk with alcohol, they are under the influence of alcohol, right? You could say they are under the power of alcohol in some kind of way. Like it's almost like something else is controlling them. And so if you're drunk, if you're under the influence of alcohol, what happens is, so I hear, you tend to think differently. You start to talk differently. And you start to act differently. You start to say things that maybe you wouldn't say normally and do things. But these guys, they're not drunk. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. But you see a very similar thing. Because when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, it was like they were under the influence of the Holy Spirit. It's like they were under the power of the Holy Spirit. And when they were under the power of the Holy Spirit, they began to think differently. They began to talk differently. And they began to act differently. When they were filled with the Spirit of God, their life started to align with what God wanted for their life. And so I want to encourage you to live by the Spirit, to walk with the Spirit, just like the people follow the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. This is what it looks like for us. Holy Spirit, what do you want from me today? Right? And so the invitation is that the same Spirit, we can be under the influence of the same Spirit who raised Christ Jesus from the dead. Be filled with the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came on the people, they were filled with dunamis. And we sang about it. It changes us. It changes everything. We just sang that. When the Holy Spirit comes on us. And this is what happened. Their lives were different. Their ministry was different. And everything in their life was different because of Jesus. Next week, we're going to talk about spiritual gifts. And we're going to talk about fruits of the Spirit. But what I want to do today as we finish up is I want to give you just three ways that the Holy Spirit gives you and me real power today. And if you're a follower of Jesus, that power lives in you. Here's the first way that the Holy Spirit gives us power. Number one, the Holy Spirit gives you power today to share Christ boldly, to share Christ boldly. Here's what Paul said about that when he came to tell people about Jesus at Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. He said this. He said, "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." This is the Apostle Paul here talking. He's saying, look, when I came to you, I didn't come to you with like really eloquent words. I wasn't a good speaker. I didn't come to you with like, you know, this amazing rhetoric to kind of twist your arm into something. I just came with the power of God, Spirit working in me, and all of a sudden, God made my words come alive in you. And I think this is one of the weirdest and coolest experiences of being a follower of Jesus. And I experience this almost every single week when I'm preaching. This is not just about preaching, but when I'm preaching, there are times where I'm like, man, this message is a dud. You know, I'm like, you know, I'm kind of going into it like, oh, I don't know if I feel great about, hopefully God speaks through this in some way. And all of a sudden, after the message is over, there's people that are saying, oh my goodness, God spoke to me in this kind of way, in this kind of way. And I'm like, thank you, God, right? That you can take even some things that seem like a weakness, right? Even some things that seem like I'm not really speaking with very eloquent way, but the Spirit of God starts to intercede and to speak to us. You know, when I was younger, I never thought I was going to be a preacher. I just wasn't called to be a preacher. I didn't even think about it. But what I knew is when I was younger, I could motivate and I could lead a group of people on a sports team, right? I could lead a group of people in an organization to come together and to do things together that they could not do by themselves. I had that ability to motivate people. But it was one of those things where I was okay at speaking, but I never felt like I was a good public speaker. Maybe you can relate to this. Never felt like I was a good public speaker. I would kind of, you know, get in front of people and I'd start fumbling over my words and stuff, you know? But in a very weird way, when I started to speak about Jesus individually, in groups, and even in you know, public, what started to happen is God started to take something that I didn't think I was very good at, and all of a sudden, God started to do something that came alive in me when I would speak. And maybe you can relate to this, but I always felt uncomfortable talking about Jesus. I always felt like underqualified. Like, God, there's so many more people that know so much more than me, right? Like, who am I, right? Who am I to be speaking to anybody about Jesus? I feel like I'm not good enough. Maybe you can relate to that. You know, there were times where I was thinking, God, I don't even know what to say if I were to speak to somebody right now. I don't even know what I would say. Or I don't even know that much about the Bible. Like, there's so many other people that are way more gifted at that than I am. Growing up, that's what I thought. But God would start to open the door in a conversation, a lot of time in a locker room or in some other place, and like a missile from heaven, it was almost like God would just give me these words to speak in a real, compelling, and an effective way about who Jesus is. And maybe you've had this before where all of a sudden you're speaking to somebody and all of a sudden you just start quoting a Bible verse that you didn't even know was in the Bible. That's happened to me sometimes. And you have to go back. You have to go back and you start, you know, look in the Bible to see if it's actually there and come to find out it is, right? What is that? It's the Holy Spirit giving you the words today to say, speaking through you. And so I want to encourage you when the Holy Spirit nudges you to talk to somebody about Jesus, it's tempting to ignore it. It's tempting to say, well, that's not my gift. Other people can do stuff like that. I'll just serve in other ways. But you can probably, like me, come up with every reason why you aren't qualified to do it, right? Like maybe you're like, all right, they want to talk about Jesus. Let's call for backup, right? Or maybe you start looking around to change the subject. But, you know, maybe you think, like, I'm not eloquent enough or gifted enough or qualified enough. But if you'll follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit, God will actually give you the words. And you will be amazed how God will come into an ordinary, average, and even unqualified person like you and like me, and God will give you the dunamis, the power to speak boldly about Jesus. Here's the second way that the Holy Spirit gives us power today. Number two, the Holy Spirit gives you the power when you are weak. when you're weak. You know this. You've experienced this probably, but 2 Corinthians chapter 12 says this. It says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" Therefore, Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. He says, "That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties." Why, Paul? It's because he can see the power of God at work. He says, "For when I am weak, then I'm strong." God gets involved and God starts working. You know, when I was in high school, we had to do a lot of weightlifting. And after we would get to the end of a workout, we would max out sometimes, but we would get to the end of a workout. And there were some times where we would do kind of like, you know, if you've worked out before, there are times when you're working out and you're working out and you get to a point where your arms are just shaking, where you're kind of like, I don't have any more strength, you know, in my arms to lift anything. But we would go and we would try to do 10 more reps. And I would get on the bench press, and there would be a spotter over top of me. And I'd do 1, 2, and I'd get to 8. And then I would come down to do the next rep, and it was like, I've got nothing in the tank. And the spotter would start to say something interesting. "It's all you. It's all you." And I'm thinking, "No, it's not. I've got nothing left," right? And so I'm pushing, and my chest is burning. It's like booby burn, you know, whatever. And I'm pushing. And it's like the spotter is saying, "It's all you." But the spotter, there were times where the spotter was lifting the whole thing. And I'm just like, just barely pushing it, and I was able to finish the rest of the workout. It's the best thing ever, right? It's all you. It's all you. This is a good illustration of the Holy Spirit working in our lives when we're weak. I've told you in the past that your greatest strengths are oftentimes anointed weaknesses. There are oftentimes anointed weaknesses, times in our lives where God loves to show off, and he loves to show up in times of weakness in your life to show his strength. He wants to show his strength. And I think one of the things is when you bring your weaknesses to God, God can empower you, he can breathe life into it, and he can show his strength through your life. And so wherever you're weak today, I just want you to know that the Holy Spirit can be strong. Maybe you're a parent and you're trying to figure out, you know, like, I've got a kindergartner that's about to start in a couple weeks, and we're like, "Well, God, we've never had a kindergartner. We don't know how to lead a kindergartner yet," right? Maybe you're kind of wrestling with, you know, how do I parent? How do I lead my kids without them making me crazy, right? Ask the Holy Spirit to give you the power and the wisdom to do that. Or maybe there's a sin in your life that you just can't seem to overcome. You've had your gloves on, you've had your shovel going, and you've been digging and digging, and you go to church and you do the list and you do all these things, but you keep digging and you keep having the same results. It may be that it's time to take off the gloves, to put down the shovel, and to depend every single day on the supernatural power of God. So I don't know what that is in your life, but let the Holy Spirit give you the power when you're weak. Here's the last thing, number 3, how the Holy Spirit gives you power. The Holy Spirit gives you the power, lastly, to experience all the fullness of God. To experience all the fullness of God. What does that mean? What are we talking about? What it means to me is that there's a lot of people who the Christian life has been reduced to just kind of a list of checking boxes. You know, like, do you believe in God? Check. You know, did you go to church? Check. Did you get baptized at one time? Yep, check. Are you serving in some way? Check, right? And we check these boxes, and then on top of that, we think it's just try to be a good person, and that's the Christian life. And there's so much more than that. You know, it's like having Jesus around you, but doing it with your own power. It's like having the shovel and trying to dig your way through the Christian life. And when I look at people today, there's so many Christians who are living in a way that looks just like everybody else. Still hurting, still addicted, still wrestling with worry, still broke, still struggling in their marriages and in their lives. No real faith, no real victory. Why? Because there's no power. The Holy Spirit wants to give you power to experience all the fullness of God. Here's what Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 3. This was our verse. Our teenagers will recognize this. This is our verse from a retreat they went on. Ephesians chapter 3. Paul says this: "I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power, with dunamis, through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be, what does it say? Filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. You know, there's so much more to Christianity than doing gooder, than checking the Christian box, right? The Holy Spirit is the constant presence and the power of God in your life. And he wants to fill you to the measure of the fullness of God. He wants to empower you to have a peace that goes well beyond anything you can comprehend. He wants to enable you to possess the fruits of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And the Holy Spirit wants to help you to walk by faith and not by sight. You can live the supernatural life in this world, not by your own strength. Take off the gloves, put down the shovel, and surrender yourself to the power of the Holy Spirit that's available to you. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the way that you don't leave us and that you don't forsake us. For the way, God, that you promise to come into our lives if we're followers of Jesus and to fill us with the power of God, the fullness of God. And God, so many people today are not living with that kind of power. And I pray that today that we would begin to surrender ourselves to that power once again, to your power that's available to us, to allow us to walk the way you've called us to walk and to have an impact like you've called us to have. God, help us to put down our shovels and help us to begin relying on your strength and on your power and our weaknesses, enabling us to speak, and so that we can experience the fullness of God in and through our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.